The Jags win in Nashville for the first time in years. 36-22, the final over the Tennessee Titans. And it was just like Amy Adams Strunk drew it up. Titans fall to their AFC South foe and now look like a team that's closer to below average than just an average playoff team. Alongside Chad Withrow, I'm Jonathan Hutton. 7-6 now, three-game losing streak for the Titans for the first time since 2018. And for a organization that doesn't like distractions, they don't discuss injuries, they don't point fingers. It was a week of distractions, a week of discussing all the injuries and the lack of depth. And meanwhile, the Jacksonville Jaguars came in here and smoked them starting in the second quarter. From Outkick 360, we are ready to go on 102.5 The Game and 106.3. And Chad, all of our shows for postgame, we're here until 6 o'clock. We've got live scores, reaction, we want phone calls, and it's all presented by Superbook Lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill. Second floor, Margaritaville on Broadway, Renter's Warehouse, and Two Rivers Ford making it happen as well. How about that, Chad?
Yeah, let me be very clear about our intention for the show today, all right? We are not state-run media. We are two guys who have no employment by the team that just laid an egg. We are two people who want to react with you. I want your reaction. I want to spend the next 2 hours taking phone calls, taking texts, taking tweets, whatever it may be.
Picks.
From Titans fans about whatever the hell we just watched. 615-737-1025, 737-1025. I want to take calls from Titans fans about what is going on and what has happened with this team. And a special thanks to our sponsors, of course, Superbook Lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill in Margaritaville. They got great specials right now, $3 off any appetizer in the bar, $20 special price for buckets of 5 Landshark beer, Bud Light, Mick Ultra, Two Rivers Ford, Renter's Warehouse. We'll talk about them throughout as well. But Hutton, I'm watching that game today, and I'm just thinking, man, this is a Titans team that just does not get clowned under Mike Vrabel. They got clowned today. They got the Jacksonville Jaguars coming in here and talking trash to them. They've got Trevor Lawrence, who was awful a year ago, sitting there waving at the 5,000 remaining fans in that stadium to go home. After the 4-8 Jags came in here and clowned the Titans. This is 3 straight losses. And it's one thing to lose to Cincinnati, the defending AFC champion. It's another thing to lose to Philly, the best team in football right now, and get blown out on the road. It's another thing to come back home following up a Tuesday firing of your GM, which, say what you want about it, is an unprecedented move in the NFL. No GM has ever been fired not having a losing season. Amy Adams Strunk saw fit to fire the GM on Tuesday with a team that was 7-5 leading their division. And all that happened in the next game, I don't know that John Robinson would have done anything with this game today. But all I know is that the Titans followed up the firing of John Robinson with the worst performance in the Mike Vrabel era. I've never seen anything worse from him.
And consider this. This game started with 96 rushing yards in the first quarter for Derrick Henry against the team that he teabags on an annual basis.
Yes.
96 yards in the first quarter. He had 119 yards at halftime. And 96 yards, Chad, is the most in a first quarter for his career. And they end up getting smoked where fans are headed for the exits with about a minute left in the third quarter. That's how quickly it changed. It changed on his fumble.
Yeah.
Where Jacksonville went down and got a drive. But here's the difference in this team. This defense has lost its identity as well. They can't get a stop. This was a defense that whenever they returned and they played the game after Buffalo you could even go to the Cincinnati performance. This was a good defense, right? We were discussing on the Tennessee Power Hour for our Outkick affiliate here in town, 102.5 and 94.9 The Fan. This was an elite defense for that stretch. And now Jacksonville's getting the ball. Philadelphia's getting the ball. They're going in scoring. Today was no different. And some of these wide receivers for Jacksonville against the Titans defensive backs, no sacks on Trevor Lawrence today. Meanwhile, Ryan Tannehill's taking hit after hit, sacked 4 times. The 4 turnovers lead to 20 points And you're right. Trevor Lawrence looked the part, and the Titans, I mean, it looked like a team that was playing like the owner described in the firing of their general manager.
Yeah, look, you can – this is not going to be a referendum on John Robinson and the job that he's done throughout the show. Okay, I don't want to make it that.
Last week was.
Yeah, last week was that, and he got fired. And we can argue about, you know, John Robinson should have been fired, whatever. It should have happened after the season. That's
yes,
what I will
right.
not understand.
The timing of it, yeah.
If there's nothing off the field happening, I do not understand making an unprecedented move with a team in first place that was 7-5 in season. There is no reason to do that. None at all. So I don't understand
well,
that.
There's also no reason to give up that 14-10 lead and have the game turn the way it did based on the turnovers. It's not just the results. The mentality and the physical edge is gone from that locker room.
Yeah.
And it happened fast. Henry led the league in rushing through week 9, the entire league. And he's 23rd going into this week from week 10 until week 14 in the league. They can't get any push up front. Meanwhile, in the first quarter they did today, because I was texting with a friend and said, what's going on? Where does this Henry come from? I said, it's Jacksonville. You know, 96 yards, he's boat racing them. And that quickly turned.
Well, so Mike Vrabel has made a living out of, you know, turning chicken bleep into
sure, in
a chicken salad, right?
Yep.
And taking defensive guys and plugging them in and playing and getting something out of them. Well, that time is over now. I mean, they've got a lot of injuries on defense, and it's showing. It's a defense, you mentioned, Hutton, they've lost their identity. And I keep going back to, this is just not the Titans that we've known over the last few years. And it is slowly slipping away. It's pulling itself apart at the seams. And I go back to the decision to get rid of John Robinson this week, and it was an unnecessary distraction, and one that you could have handled. I don't care if you knew before the Eagles game or whenever you decided that was going to happen. You could have waited till after the season to make that call, because you have to allow that if status quo got your team to 7-5 and first in the division, then just allow for status quo to possibly win you a playoff game. It's not going to happen. We all believe that. But the way this season was going, it was going to play itself out. You could have very easily after the season said, hey, John Robinson did an amazing job winning seasons. We got to get someone to take us to the next level. And because of some of his picks, because of the A.J. Brown trade, he's not the guy to get us to the next level. So we wish him well, but we're going in a different direction.
Let's be honest,
but
though.
This is what we all know what the message was, though, right? We saw it. The message from the owner was, you guys suck, and it's John Robinson's fault, and this team is going nowhere, so I can go ahead and mess with everything and throw off the equilibrium of the 2022 season because I'm fed up with this guy, and I'm fed up with you guys. And they came out there and played like it today.
Well, and also, the reality check question, by the way, 615-737-1025, our number. We're going to get to the phone calls right after this. 615-737-1025, load the lines. We want your reaction.
You go
we to
want
the
to hear
front
from
of
you
line.
Guys. We got someone in the front row who's ready to speak
no
also.
Doubt. No
so
doubt.
I get it. Look, I get the anger. I understand it.
Here's what Amy Adams Strunk told the team. And by the way, Vrabel stood at a podium in Philadelphia after the game and said they were at a crossroads. I want to know what they are now if last week they were at a crossroads, because their owner – their controlling owner fires the general manager on a Tuesday, December 6th, going into week 14 at a team that's 7-5 with a chance to clinch the AFC South. A chance to clinch the AFC South with a win and then another Indianapolis loss or another Titans win. And what Strunk told us is, we're right. This team isn't good. If Washington scores instead of throwing the interception, if Indianapolis scores, this is a 5-win team, and they're staring at a top 10 pick. They didn't. You can't go back and rewrite history. They were 7-5 at the time of the firing. But this is an indication that the team isn't really good, and next year could be even worse. Ownership acknowledged that this week. It's an organization that is extremely introverted. Radio silence within the organization today, all week, spoke volumes. Nobody up there within the organization I spoke with today wanted to talk about it. They're scared to speak on the issue, which tells you they didn't know what was coming. They were shocked just like everyone. And It's also a group that doesn't point fingers within the locker room. That's what has saved them in years past. It's a coaching staff that doesn't point blame at the players specifically by name. If they lose, they blame themselves, but they allow the coaches to suck and continue to come back, a la Todd Downing and others. Point being, within a two-week span, they've added distractions and speculation instead of, and including really, the discussion about how they're going to win a football game. And now at 7-6, you're going, where is this headed, even though we still think they're winning the division? And going nowhere, but at least a team that had a little confidence and could focus on just getting healthy. Focus on getting healthy, just like last year when their quarterback threw three picks in the playoff game. No one was pointing fingers at John Robinson then. They got healthy, and their quarterback threw three picks in the playoff game when they sacked Burrow nine times, and had an all-time great defensive performance.
Hutton, help me with the math here because you're very good at this with the division. If they go 8-9, are they winning the division regardless?
The magic number.
Or can they get caught?
Well, the magic number's 2. Technically, they can get caught. They could lose out.
No, but I'm saying if they win one more. I'm saying this
because the magic number's 2.
I believe the Titans are winning one more game this year, and it's Houston at home.
Well,
so they're going to finish 8-9.
They have to win. They have to win one more. Indianapolis can lose one more, or the Titans can win 2. The magic number's 2. That's the formula.
So Indy losing 1.
Yeah, and they're on a bye week this week.
So Titans win 1, Indy loses 1, it's over.
Yes.
Titans win 1.
If they won today and Indy lost next week, Titans clinch regardless of what happens.
Look, I believe that they will find a way to beat the Houston Texans and maybe get some guys healthy enough to do that at home. But this team is – I don't think they're winning another game.
But I'm saying why –
they are in a tailspin right now.
But how do you get the team – I think the really underplayed storyline of the week, and this will be the storyline going into this week for sure, is of all of the challenges that Vrabel has dealt with, you know, the first game he coached was the longest game in NFL history down in Miami. You know, he lost Delanie Walker for the season.
Yep.
They had the quarterback
crazy
change.
Day.
You know, all the different things. This it will end up being the most difficult stretch to date for him based on how this was handled. I mean, if we are to believe Amy Adams Strunk, Mike Vrabel had nothing to do with it. And by the indication of the press conference where he was muted on how to answer certain questions, he was hesitant to even mention that the owner was in the draft room.
Yeah.
And it was clear she was.
Yeah, the direction, the messaging
this will
is
end
off.
Up being the toughest challenge for him because you've got to get the focus – of they pride themselves on next man up and that being the mantra, and right now the next man up is the guy that's getting up off the turf after getting sacked and is Ryan Tannehill, because their offensive line that's where it starts, man. The offensive line is so bad, and that's what got Robinson fired.
By the way, thanks to the gentleman here who bought us a drink up here at Superbook Lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill in Margaritaville. Cheers, gentlemen.
Cheers to you guys.
Appreciate you guys.
Cheers.
By the way, 49ers lead the Bucks 14-0. Hey, we'll keep you up to date
on
all the scores this afternoon.
They also want other games on these TVs. Am I right? Is that what you're trying to do?
Yeah. What games do you guys want?
Yeah, we've got –
we can say it loud enough where they
49ers,
can hear
49ers, Bucks 14-0. We also – Kansas City's playing right now, I know.
Patrick Mahomes, we're going to update you on all the afternoon games. Patrick Mahomes, of all the Patrick Mahomes moments, had a touchdown pass earlier of the no-look variety where I was convinced he was about to take off for about a 4 or 5 yard gain. And right before he took off down the sideline, he throws a no-look pass for a touchdown, leading a guy perfectly. It was unbelievable. You got to see the highlight of it later. But
Chiefs lead 20-0 over the Broncos. Panthers lead on the road 17-7 at Seattle.
We're going to sit here and talk about the issues this team. We're going to talk about this game. The pivot point in this game was the Derrick Henry fumble, where they are rolling and they cannot stop Derrick Henry. And somehow he fumbles it right back into play for Trayvon Walker, who barely has a centimeter from going out of bounds when he collects it. Turnover, Jags go and score. Game was over at that point. That was the moment in the game where I thought the Titans were still in control
and
about to go up 21-13.
Another point, though, they open the second half with a kickoff return for a touchdown that's called back for a hold, and then they go on a 12-play, 7-minute touchdown drive. That was the nail in the coffin, too. They allowed the second half, the second quarter touchdown right before halftime off the fumble, and then they have the kickoff return that's called back, and then the defense collapses and folds. Right after.
That was not good.
We don't see that from the Vrabel team. We see terrible offense. We see terrible offense. What we haven't seen is this team routinely give up 21-plus. In fact, I mean, that's really the stat we could get into defensively for this group is it's difficult to see a defense that can't stop Jacksonville. And they've allowed more than 21 points one time all season entering this week. And today, Jacksonville boat races them in the second and third quarter.
Phone lines are open. We want to take a ton of phone calls today. We can react to this. We want you to react. Biggest takeaway from the Titans, getting embarrassed at home by the Jacksonville Jaguars, and everything that transpired this week and what to expect moving forward from this team. Again, I'll say it. I expect them to win one more game against Houston, and that's it. Is that mathematically going to be enough for them to win the division at 8-9? Time will tell. Phone lines are open, 615-737-1025, 737-1025. Huge thanks to our hosts, Superbook Lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill in Margaritaville, and our title sponsors, Renters Warehouse. Book your free home rental price analysis today at renterswarehouse.com or give them a call, 615-398-9550. And Two Rivers Ford, in-stock inventory is back. F-150s, Explorers, Edges, Escapes. They've been doing business the right way for almost 40 years, and they treat their customers like family. Give them a call, 800-900-1000. We want your phone calls for the next hour, Chad, and 45 minutes. This can be a fun show.
And when we come back, a note about you say that the drive where the game was over. Right before half, the fumble by Henry, they drive down and get a score. There is a point in that moment, in that drive, even before the touchdown, where Jacksonville was about to wave the white flag and go to halftime. We'll discuss that moment and what happened soon after. You're listening to NFL Postgame on 102.5 The Game.
Welcome back to the NFL Post Game. We are in the locker room with Titans safety Kevin Byard.
I care about what's going on in the playoffs. The playoffs haven't started yet. You know what I'm saying? We're thinking about the regular season, trying to finish this season out as strong as possible. Then we'll figure all that stuff out when it gets to
Kevin, with all the injuries that have been going on with this defense, do you think this defense can really turn it around and play at a top five level like y'all were earlier this season?
You know, it's unfortunate that we've had those injuries, but statistically, top five, top 10, top 15, I don't care. We're just going to win. I want to win. Like, I don't care if we give up half many yards. If we can win W's, I'm going to come in here and I'm going to celebrate and I'm going to be happy. Obviously, we want to play dominant football, but we're not right now. So it's all about how we respond to that. You know what I'm saying? Every week is going to be different in this league, especially the way we game plan and things like that. But we're not playing good football right now, and we have to start playing good football if we want to, you know, make a run at this thing.
As a leader on this team, what is the message that you're sending out to the guys to try and get this turnaround? It's not very often that you see these guys with a three-game losing streak. What is the message that you and other leaders on this team that are passing on to your teammates to try and get a turnaround?
We got to stand on it. We got to stand on the performance that we put out in these past 2 weeks. Understand that this is not good enough. And if you're thinking that, you know, hey, I'm playing okay, they're not throwing the ball my way, or, you know, anything like that, like, that's the wrong attitude to have. We have to stand on what we've been doing the past 3 weeks and just go respond. I mean, what else? We're not about to sit here and be soaking in the locker room. I'm not going to let anybody have their head down and get discouraged. You know, this game is, especially in my position, a lot about confidence. You have to have confidence every time you go out there. You're going to win some, you're going to lose some. That's just the way it goes. So, like you said, as a leader, I'm just going to make sure that, you know, we're not, our confidence isn't wavering. Our belief in what we're doing here, you know, as players and coaches isn't wavering. We're just going to keep pushing this thing forward.
Got it. Thank you so much,
no problem.
Appreciate it.
Titan safety Kevin Byard there with Junie Riddle. Michelle Knezovic will also check in, I believe, with Jeffrey Simmons coming up. It's NFL Postgame on 102.5 The Game. And
I love his honesty all the time with Kevin
Byard.
But
it's some,
love it.
Yes, I do too. I love the fact that he's one of the guys that from day one has talked after a win or a loss, no matter the situation, right? No matter the tough questions, answers, whatever. But, Chad, at some point, this whole, oh, we got to, you know, we're going to press forward, we're not worried about this, that. At some point, you begin to hear the noise. And that's just human nature. And this is a team that is now allowed to hear the noise because the noise has crept in within the organization by the move they made this week and the silence for 72 hours afterwards.
Yeah, there needs to be, if in fact it was a crossroads a week ago after that loss to Philly, there needs to be a crossroads-like moment and acknowledgement that something's got to change. The status quo is not good enough anymore. Amy Adams Shrunk said that with firing John Robinson. So internally, this team has to acknowledge the exact same thing. Maybe that's Todd Downing getting fired tomorrow, which now for the first time I think might actually be a possibility with all the uproar about it. But Hutton, we know this. If that move's going to be made, it's being made by one person, and that's Mike Vrabel. And he's been very stubborn with his own staff when it comes to decisions like that. But I believe it is time for Tim Kelly to be the play caller for this Titans team. I really do. From what I saw today, there's a lot of finger-pointing to do. And you mentioned this, but it's an organization that typically does not point fingers. And they did so this week. And the result is the worst performance I can remember under Mike Vrabel, really getting dominated at home. It was a good start to the game.
Great.
They were fine for a while. Derrick Henry's running all over them. I'm thinking, man, how can one running back have such total ownership over an organization the way Derrick Henry does? He gets a long run. He gets blasted on the sideline. Fumble, Jags recover. They go down and score before the half. It was a different game from that point on. But the result, the result after they fired John Robinson. So we have to acknowledge figure out what's next for this team.
That's a trend, though. And Koharski asked Vrabel this postgame. 3 fumbles in 2 weeks. Is that a trend for Derrick Henry? Vrabel responded by saying, we look forward to giving him the football as much as possible next week. Of course.
Well, that's not a response.
Of course. Yeah. Of course you do. That's all you have. But here's the thing. The first quarter, it wasn't just Henry. They came out throwing, and they did well. But Tannehill was starting fast. And then the turnovers allowed Jacksonville to get points. And, again, where it has been a strength, the Titans – if they turn the football over, and again, they only had 11 going into this week, turnovers. They were +2 in turnover margin. When they turn it over, the defense bails them out. And their best player let them down with the fumbles. Some of them, the one right before half, I mean, he's turning back and he's, you know, hit. It's a perfect play defensively. I think it was more great defensive play than it was poor ball handling by Henry. Point being, Chad, this is normally a defense that gets a stop. Or gets a 3-point stop instead of allowing 6. And that didn't happen today. Let's go to the phones. Luther is first up for us on NFL Postgame, presented by Renter's Warehouse, Two Rivers Ford, and Superbook Sports as we broadcast live at Landshark Bar and Grill, second floor here at Margarito on Broadway. What's up, Luther?
All right, boys. We got some serious miscommunications here on both sides of the ball, literally and figuratively. And your 4 turnovers by your 2 top players on the offensive side of the ball. A strip sack that basically gave Jacksonville a cheap touchdown. And then a what kind of pass was that to a non-factor in Westbrook Akine? And that got turned into points. You take those out, you're probably winning the game or at least having a chance to tie. You take those 10 points off the board, you most likely change the game.
But the interception, right, Luther, thank you, man. The interception to the second. They run the slant there.
That's exactly what you're talking about.
NWI didn't even turn his head for the football.
Yeah.
What route is he running?
Luther, I don't even know. No, you're spot on. That was not even a slant to turn your head on.
I mean, it wasn't even a pass.
Yeah, no,
it was such a dumb pass. It was like,
yeah.
Hey, Tannehill, here's a piece of advice. You're not Mahomes. You're not Mahomes. Never had been, never will be.
But
At worst, throw the ball away.
Here's the thing. Luther, who are we blaming on that one? Are we blaming Ryan Tannehill or Nick Westbrook Akine, who's running the wrong route?
Guess what? Well, hey, Chad, here's the thing. Quarterback throws it. Receiver doesn't run the right route. Receiver doesn't turn his head. So it's a half and half. But it goes on whose ledger? Tannehill's ledger. Not Westbrook Akine, even though Westbrook Akine had the mental error.
It goes on Todd Downing's ledger, I believe.
That should be a play you can get going.
Trying to see what Todd Kelly can do. Because I don't even know why he got fired in Houston anyway. Because of this? Didn't both these guys come from the Texans or something, if I'm right? One of them did anyway. I think that was Kelly, right, as the passing coordinator?
Yeah, Kelly comes from the Texans.
Okay, that's what I thought.
So at some point,
we need to see what he either what he has or what he doesn't have. Because right now, what we have in that OC chair has us at the bottom of the league. I mean, Henry had 119 yards, 96 in the first quarter. What did he have the rest of the day? 23. And two balls put on the ground with one of those, you're right, help side. Good play by the defense on the help side, bringing him, forcing him back inside. And I think both those fumbles were on, what, screen passes, if I'm right? Both those fumbles were Henry, I think.
Well, but
if
but,
I'm correct.
Yeah, Luther, thank you for the call, man.
I think both of those are on passes.
Thank you, Luther. We will. So the other thing, too, Chad, the other one that was muffed is they're running this. They're down. I forget the score. They're down three possessions, I believe. And they run this little.
The cute.
Yeah.
The
Tannehill's faking like it's over the head.
The quarterback, it's over the head, and it snaps the running back.
And it snapped low to Henry. And
that old chestnut.
They go to the sideline. There's a deer in the headlights look on Henry just sitting on the sideline like,
What the hell are we doing?
Yeah.
So the play that he's talking about that was picked off by who is the safety?
He's one of the. I think he's one of the worst in the league. It's Wingard or Wingard. He's awful.
You. Yeah, yeah, that guy.
And he was hurt to begin the game, and he came back and picked off Tannehill.
I mean, you had no choice. I mean, that ball just hit him in the chest. You have no choice but to pick that one off. So what I saw on it was it looked as if Tannehill was throwing it to Akine, thinking he was settling in that spot, that he was just going to run basically a stop route right there. And he just kept running almost like he's blocking downfield, not looking for the ball. So clear miscommunication, and put that wherever you want. I tend to put that at the feet of Todd Downing more than either of those two guys. But if I'm going to assign blame and I'm going to guess who's to blame, it's probably Nick Westbrook-Ikhine and not Ryan Tannehill, who has been the starting quarterback for this team for a while and probably knows the offense and what should be accomplished on that play. And he would have been open had he stopped. It would have been a 4 or 5 yard gain, nothing big. But he kept running and didn't even look back for the ball. Interception, another one of the gaffes in the first half. I just thought the Titans early came out and played well, and they were ready to go. And the three turnovers completely derailed anything they could have done to have any momentum at the half. And the second half was an utter abomination on both sides of the football. I mean, we can just start in the second half and say it was awful. They got blown out in the second half. They should have been up double digits at halftime based on the way they played. And when they weren't and they're down, they had no chance. And here's the other thing that pisses me off about Todd Downing. It was very clear in the second half, 2-3 and outs. They possessed the ball for 6 plays in the third quarter. That's it. 6 plays. 2-3 and outs. Jacksonville runs away with it. Why? Because Todd Downing extinguished all of his good play calls in the first half once again. The guy has no adjustment and no creativity as the game goes along.
Well, there's no rhythm or flow to it.
You have to adjust, though. He's good at preparing a game plan to go down and maybe score on the first drive, which the Titans did. They scored early in this game and went down and looked pretty good doing so. But then in the second half, there's nothing. There's nothing. There's no counter to whatever adjustments were made. There's nothing that he's holding back from the first half. It's as if we're not up 14, this is Todd Downing talking right now, if we're not up double digits at halftime, it's over. We ain't scoring, guys. The only time the Titans scored was when Jacksonville was in a damn prevent because they're so far ahead. Right? They went down the field and scored because they're in a prevent. That's it. And then even the prevent wasn't good enough because Ryan Tannehill gets sacked in the one spot you can't get sacked and you have to throw it away. That one was on Tannehill late.
And Dennis Daly playing is on, first and foremost, it's on Robinson. But this continues to be,
the strip sack.
Here's what I thought they were going to do.
Where they had Chigakonkwo even, he's out there
I'm
to help.
A note on this.
And he chips
second.
On him. And then he still runs right past Dennis Daly.
I'll tell you
How
what
does
I
that
thought.
Happen?
I'll tell you what I thought was going to happen today with Dennis Daly, and use last year as an example. But real quick, the shocking part for me: Jacksonville was going to let the clock run out right before halftime. then they scored. It was first and 10 at the 45-yard line, and they had three timeouts. They let the clock run from a minute 18 to 34 seconds. Two plays later, largely because of an 18-yard pass that shouldn't have gained much yardage, it was first and 10 at the 29, and then they scored two plays after that. And that was right after the turnover, right before half. They come back out, have the kickoff return from Agnew, called back. Long drive, 7 minutes plus, 12 plays, 78 yards, one of the two. 7 points on the board, and that's all she wrote. 615-737-1025, our number, 737-1025. If you'd like to jump in, it is NFL postgame presented by Renter's Warehouse, Two Rivers Ford, and Superbook Sports on 102.5 The Game.
Welcome back into the NFL postgame show. We're joined with Jeffrey Simmons.
What's happened to the sack turnover that you guys were getting in the middle of the year? They're not there now.
Hey, you watch the game. We got to be better. Sometimes the quarterback can get the ball as quick as we can't get sacked. That's why we had a couple batted balls. It's not all about sacks. I don't know if y'all just look at sacks. We got to get no sacks on them, but we affecting the quarterback. We get them on the spot. We batting balls. So it's not all about sacks. Of course, we want 10 sacks a game. We don't have the quarterback getting the ball off quick. It's frustrating, I hate losing. It sucks. So we have to find a way to win the game. Like I said, that biggest word is accountability. We have to hold each other to a higher standard. You walk into the building, the body language, the demeanor, everything matters. Even when you turn over the ball, guys' body language, you got to come off the field with a better body language. Defense, we're going to attack the field no matter what. But, we see guys dropping the head at the same time. That's not a good look. So, like I said, accountability, body language, we have to be better as a whole, as a team. So, like I said, this week, every little thing, the details, we have to be better at that.
Did you expect a better week?
I feel like we had a great practice. We had a great week of practice. It just, like I said, it didn't end well today. They made more plays than us down the field. The receiver made more plays than us. Quarterback, we didn't affect the quarterback like they affected our quarterback. They had more turnover than us. And that's how they won the game.
Jeff, how frustrating has the last month been for you with your injury, dealing with trying to play on maybe one leg at times? Has it been frustrating?
I'm not playing on one leg. I'm not frustrated at all. I'm going out there playing ball.
So you don't feel like you've been hampered by your injury at all?
You watch the game. Even the last couple of games, if you go watch the game, I keep hearing all this, his production down. Go watch film. They're sliding me every time. So I'm not a selfish guy. I'm not complaining about it. I'm going to go out there and play my game. They're going to slide to me. That's an open opportunity for other guys. I'm going to care about production. Care about winning.
Did you expect a better answer collectively to the crossroad question? We've got to make some decisions that Mike presented last week.
I don't know exactly what it means, crossroad. I can focus on what I focus on. Coach Ray make his own statements. Whatever he say, that's his, that's him. But like I said, I can control what I control, and that's my leadership.
Our audio quality in the locker room, just a tad better than Dennis Daly today at left tackle.
Yeah.
Or for the season. Outkick 360s, Chad Withrow.
Better.
I'm Jonathan Hutton. We are on 102.5 The Game. NFL postgame here on 102.5, presented by Renter's Warehouse, Two Rivers Ford. We are live from the Superbook Sports Lounge here at Landshark Bar and Grill, Margaritaville, second floor here on Broadway. Chad, I was talking with John McClain earlier this week. He says he's coming to town, for the Houston game, and then he will be here again, possibly for the playoff game. The last game of the Titans season, the playoff game, and he wants to come out here and see the crowd, hang out, and maybe do a big watch party.
I'm not convinced the Titans are going to the playoffs right now. As crazy as that sounds, I just don't.
Oh, by the way,
this team is in the wilderness. They are in the wilderness right now, and for Jeffrey Simmons, who is a great player. You don't have to put on this facade of, I'm not frustrated. Who said I was frustrated? I'm not frustrated. I'm just going out and doing my – you're frustrated.
Yeah, and he's not –
if you're not frustrated –
he's not impacting the game like he was.
You're not human. Every player on that team and coach should be frustrated. Of course, You're frustrated right
his,
now.
His I don't know what crossroads means. That's a $2 million answer, not a $25 million per year answer right there from one of the leaders.
No, and he's just saying, Coach Vrabel makes his statements. I mean, mine. I don't know what crossroads means. I'm fine with that. But to try to act like I'm just going out and doing my job, I'm not frustrated. No, you're frustrated. You must be frustrated right now. I know Titans fans are frustrated also. Give us a call, 615-737-1025. 737-1025. Would love to hear from you on your biggest moment of frustration with what's going on with this team.
Scoreboard update, and I'll give you my take on Dylan Ravens.
Well, there are some bad afternoon games going on right
yeah,
now.
And some big moments here throughout, even though they're blowouts. Dylan Ravens, Dennis Daly. I'll give you what I thought was going to happen. But first, Bubba and Dixon on the line. What's up, Bubba?
My guys, it has been a while since I've heard your beautiful angelic voices come across these airwaves.
I think this is like the fifth or sixth call we've taken in 2 years, Chad.
Yeah, and it's great. I mean, every time we hear your beautiful angelic voice, Bubba, and everyone else, it's an amazing moment for us. So thank you for calling.
I'm talking about previous stops there, gentlemen.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're not allowed to speak on those.
Hey, I will say this.
Contractually.
That's fine. Anyways, moving on.
Not really. Go ahead, Bubba. We got you, man.
Yeah, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. You got a make-a-wish offensive line. You've got guys just wanting to pretend like they play. You get rid of a GM who's trying to put – he's bringing you pieces. Yeah, but the pieces he's bringing triangles to fit the round hole. It's not working. Like, this
it was bad.
Coordinator – gets hit in the mouth. He's like, oh, you know what? My first 15 plays, my goodness, I'm telling you, we're going to start scoring. We're going to look like we're going to win. What about the 16th play? Well, crap, I don't really know what we're going to do after that. This is the worst thing I've ever seen. And the longest, I don't care if it was back in the Fisher days. Malarkey days, I don't really care. What's going on right now is dysfunction. You got a bunch of things that are not adding up. Your defense, yeah, I know Jeff, he's got to be frustrated. But they're on the field so many times. And they try to get off the field, but when you've got your 16th round Mr. Irrelevant playing corner, what are we doing? Downey, this guy has got to go. Vrabel needs to take a play or just a page out of Miss Amy's playbook and say, you know what? I'm going to make a decision to make a rash change, and let's just see if this works. Because what they're doing is terrible, and it's terrible to watch. Heck, it is terrible to listen to. This is the worst thing that's ever happened in this organization right now, and it is by far – like, yeah, I don't think they're going to win another game the rest of the season.
Well, it's not the worst. You were with us whenever Tommy Smith was running this blank show.
Yeah, the ownership is not the worst.
Yeah, it's been really
bad. But, Bubba, let me say this.
It's the worst it's been with this regime.
The perfect encapsulation of what's going on right now is a young woman in this bar that was wearing an A.J. Brown Titans jersey just stood up and walked out in a very melancholy state while wearing the A.J. Brown jersey. Perfect moment for what's happening to this Titans team.
Number
right
11
now
is Caleb Shudak. You get that right.
Sorry. A Caleb Shudak jersey just walked out here in her, you know, ankle-length coat to the streets of Nashville to face the harsh reality of a blowout loss, a loss to the Jacksonville Jags for the first time in Nashville since 2013, 9 years ago. She just walked out onto Broadway into the face of that. That's the perfect... That was a really good call. Now,
thank you, Bubba.
Not as bad as Tommy Smith, not as bad as the Ken Wisenhunt years. I'm not going to go as far as to say this is rock bottom for the Titans. We've seen much worse. They're still 7-6, but this is an inflection point for the Mike Vrabel era. And I say Mike Vrabel era because this is his organization right now. Amy Adams Strunk put her name in the news for whatever reason this week. She didn't have to. I don't get it. She's been very good about being quiet and behind the scenes for so long. I don't understand why she suddenly felt the need to put herself into that and say, I'm going to fire a guy in season in an unprecedented way. I don't understand that part of it, but she did it. But in doing so, Hutton, she said, this is Mike Vrabel's team. That's the message I got.
Well, so that leads me to left tackle. So if you're making a change like this, the timing of it was bizarre. And I'm thinking, okay, something had to happen behind the scenes. And Teresa Walker spoke to her on a Friday. That's when those clips were released. So from Tuesday until Friday, they allowed, the Tennessee Titans allowed the speculation. They could be pissed off about the speculation. They allowed it to go on. And it was everything from Todd Downing's DUI and what did John Robinson have to do with it, to did Mike Vrabel demand an ultimatum behind the scenes, to, oh, there must be some player dispute that Vrabel wants to play versus what Robinson wants to do. No, none of it. Or demanding a coach to be... None of that. The roster we saw today, I thought if there was a change at left tackle, we would see Dylan Radins out there. And he's so mentally incapable of handling how to start a game. I thought they would handle it like they did for the San Francisco Thursday night football game a year ago, where they told him the day of the game that he was starting. I thought that's what would happen here. Because Dennis Daly is one of, he's not the worst, much like Bubba saying it's the worst. He's not the worst player I've ever seen in a Titans uniform. But he goes down as a memorable player because of how bad he sucks. And they continue to roll him out there and allow their quarterback to stand in harm's way. I don't understand it. And at some point, if the coach isn't going to make a change, you have to demand it from ownership, from team prep. It is awful. It gives them zero chance. And the offensive line is just so bad, I don't understand why you're not trying more. Even if Dylan Radins is terrible, and they're telling us he's terrible by where he is on the bench. We have seen him play left tackle one time. And while he wasn't great, he wasn't Dennis Daly.
It's a great point. I mean, he played against the 49ers a year ago. And actually get a lot of praise for that forced
praise because he didn't suck, not because he was great.
Right.
But yes.
But Hutton, who wouldn't praise anyone who doesn't suck in that spot right now after having been subjected to watching Dennis Daly play that position? So
Dennis Daly makes Dylan Radins appear good.
Let's be very clear on this also. I think Mike Vrabel has proven himself to be an elite coach in the NFL.
Yes.
I think he is top 10. I think he's probably borderline top five, maybe in the top five. But today was a bad day for him.
Well, but again, he didn't turn it over four times.
No.
That's really where this starts. And he's managed this roster. But this is a stretch run that we have not seen him handle, that I am going to now view it as the toughest stretch of his tenure so far. Because of the unneeded distractions and the questions he's going to have to take, and quite frankly, the questions he can't answer, the questions he doesn't know how to answer. He's put out there on a Wednesday this week, case in point, to answer questions he has no idea how to answer. Even if he knows the truth, he doesn't know what to say. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
615-737-1025, our number. More of your phone calls. NFL postgame continues on 102.5 The Game. 615-737-1025, our number. Hutton and Withrow with you from Outkick 360. We are live on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. You can hear us 2 to 5 right here in Nashville on 94.9 The Fan. We broadcast live each and every day over at 6th and Peabody. You can join us there with Outkick 360. And we are here each Sunday after the Titans home games at Margaritaville. Second floor is Landshark Bar and Grill. You can join us here. We've got all the games on. San Francisco leads Tampa Bay 21-0. And Chad, Brock Purdy continues to put on a show. He's wheeling and dealing here. Let me pull up his most recent numbers. They've scored 14 so far in the second quarter. And they currently have the football where they're driving yet again. And as I scroll here, I apologize to those listening in here inside. Brady, by the way, 9 of 18 for 78 yards so far. And Brock Purdy is not doing well at all. And, of course, neither is my internet. I apologize.
It goes out, right,
yep.
The perfect time. But regardless, 49ers doing well, 21-0. First play of the game in this one.
Got it. 12 of 15, 146 yards, and
efficient.
A touchdown.
Efficient.
129.4 quarterback rating.
Very efficient. Brock Purdy got blasted on the first play of the game on a safety blitz. And Keanu Neal, I think, is who hit him.
Okay.
And, I mean, I think they called a penalty on it. I don't know how, other than he just didn't see the guy coming right to his face and blasting him on the play. And he's responded by putting the 49ers up 21-0 in this game.
Christian McCaffrey, 81 yards rushing. He also has a touchdown receiving as they continue to distribute the football to a number of different players. Debo Samuel, 4 catches, 43 yards. And he also has 4 rushes for 41 yards. Other scores from around the league, the late afternoon games were blowouts for the most part, but we've seen recent scores that have gotten some things closer by the half. The Chiefs lead 27-14. Chad, you mentioned the Mahomes pass. Russell Wilson threw a pick 6 in this game to linebacker Willie Gay. Again, at halftime in Denver, 27-14, Kansas City over the Broncos. The Chiefs will clinch their division with a win and a Chargers loss. The Panthers at the half lead the Seahawks 20-14. As I pull up the stats, I'm curious about the rushing yards, which are not great for Carolina, but Seattle's defense allows big chunk plays that haven't been on the ground. Sam Darnold, 9 of 12 for 84 yards and a touchdown. The difference, Geno Smith, 10 of 17, 2 touchdown passes. He's also thrown 2 picks. That set up Carolina with short field position. And again, Carolina leads on the road 20-14. And, yeah, we mentioned the 49ers and the Bucs. Tonight, it's Dolphins-Chargers. Tua Tagovailoa not on the injury report. He left last week's game against San Fran with an ankle injury. He's ready to go tonight against the 6-6 Chargers. Monday Night Football will be the Patriots and the Cardinals. We have phone lines available. We have another hour of NFL postgame.
We've 2 good calls already. We want to take more of them throughout the last hour. Your reaction to what just happened at Nissan Stadium, Jags big over the Titans. Give us a call, 615-737-1025, 737-1025. Big thanks to our host, Superbook Lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill in Margaritaville, Broadway, downtown Nashville, and also Two Rivers Ford and Renter's Warehouse.
Coming up, we welcome your phone calls. We take a look at the Titans' loss today to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Bigger picture, the message it sent this week and what this loss means moving forward with 4 games to play and what's in front of them. And the message and expectation and how the tenor has really changed. The blame was on Robinson, and the crossroads was mentioned, and we see this team fold the way they did in the second and third quarter, where a minute left in the third, fans were hitting the exits and the boos were out at Nissan Stadium. 615-737-1025. You're listening to NFL Postgame on 102.5 The Game.